I'm Susan Young. I'm the chair of the KPFT Management Selection and Review Committee, and we are convening the meeting of July 15th, and the time is 6:11 Central Time. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Okay. Teresa Allen is present. David Britton? Not hearing David. Adriana Casanave?
Present.
Thank you. Joseph Davis? Not hearing Joseph. Lyndon Foley? Not hearing Lyndon. Bob Gartner?
Present.
Thank you, Bob. Rob Lee is requesting excuse absence. Cheryl Lynn?
Present.
Thank you. Sean McPherson? Not hearing Sean. Tori Mercer?
Here.
Thank you. Stuart Nance?
Present.
Thank you. Frank Pratka? Okay, not hearing Frank. Andrea Riley is removed. Jane Scheidler? Jane?
Present.
Thank you. Richard Uzel has been removed from the roll. Susan Young?
Yes.
Thank you.
And I think you left off Marianne Martinez.
I'm coming to Marianne Martinez. She's next. I don't see Marianne on the call. Okay, not hearing her. Sandy Wyman?
Is Sandy unmuted and present.
Thank you. Is there anyone whose name I didn't call who's on here? Okay. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We have 8 people and Sandy Wyman. Thank you.
And Marlo.
Marlo, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. And Marlo has by far the most glamour of all of our cells. Except maybe Otis, the kitty cat. Okay. So
together.
We've called the roll. And next is approve the agenda. The agenda is convene, roll call, approve agenda, approve minutes, NDAs, a new system to sign and file as needed. We've had some conversation, but we'll get back to that. Discussion with IGM regarding perspectives on his performance and budget situation pertaining to possible posting for permanent GM position. Number 6 is scheduled for LSB evaluation of IGM and update regarding personnel committee guidelines. 7 is new business. 8 is next meeting proposed for Monday, August 5th. I should say it's 6 p.m. And adjourn. Is there any objection to approving this agenda? Hearing none, it's approved. Minutes. The minutes, I know I've forwarded minutes out earlier today. I'm not sure if you all received them before. So it's the minutes of the June
March
3rd meeting.
I don't think we've approved March 6th.
I think we did.
I will check. June 3rd is what you have?
Okay. Yep. Okay. And in the June 3rd minutes, there was a vote.
My bad. I just inverted it. I meant June 6th, not March 3rd. Thank you.
Okay. So, is there a motion to approve the minutes? Stewart?
Yes. I move that we approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
I second.
Second.
Teresa, is there any objection? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Okay. The NDAs. So I gave an earlier apology about the fact that both our recording methods and our filing is disastrous. Tori, would you like to address the question of the appropriateness of NDAs?
Oh, well, let's see. Let me come back to this Zoom meeting. Hello. I was listening to NPR the other day when K KPFT was down and had this, you know, like 30 minute program or so about NDAs, and it was shocking. I want to encourage everyone to listen to it. I understand that they're needed, you know, for certain employment related things. And, but what corporations tend to do and lawyers tend to do is make these wide ranging, extremely comprehensive documents that are oriented towards stifling the rights and expression of their employees. And they're just overreaching. And, you know, it's, they're on the, you know, most of them are just terrible. And, so, you know, I'm not going to be signing one unless it's extremely limited, concerning specifically what we're talking about. But the ones, if it's, you know, a several page document that covers, you know, everything a lawyer can put into legalese, then I won't be signing one.
And that's fair enough. So I will forward again the current one that has been drafted by the general counsel, and I appreciate people's feedback about it, okay? The limited purpose for its intent is to cover things covered in executive session, and those things are personnel matters, legal, and a few things like that. So, you know, discussions about litigation, blah, blah.
And those are appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah. Jane, real estate, you know, sorry, Adriana, well, yeah, Jane has slipped out. Adriana?
Well, yes, I believe that we have, from before I signed, I don't know how many in my life in Pacifica, but the ones that were the normal one that we signed have to do with Pacifica, with executive session or privilege information. But the one that they are trying now, I know that nothing sounds perfect. They keep adding things. And like Tori said, I agree 100% with him. I mean, one thing is confidentiality in the issue that you should, but the other one is not to muscle people and prevent you and have on your, first of all, they are not effective because it's nothing that they can do. You know, I can put the lawyer and sit and put that, show that that is ridiculous, and they cannot muscle me like that because we have whistleblower, you know, policies, et cetera, et cetera. But they, I know that they keep adding things. I remember last year, I was a director in the PMB. They made me sign another one, and they are talking about a different one with more stuff. I agree with Tori. I don't believe that this is necessary, and it's something to try to limit our freedom of speech. If we divulge things that are really confidential and affect the foundation, I agree 100%. We need to be confidential, but the rest is ridiculous. Thank you.
So I will be sharing the current form of current NDA. I would appreciate it if people said these are the disagreements I have with it. Jane, will you be kind to repeat your gracious offer?
Yes, ma'am. I will be honored to accept paper NDAs or collect them from a source or have people send them to me as Word document attachments to emails, whatever works for y'all.
And then
I will print them if that's what's appropriate, which I think is the easiest thing to do. And then scan them and provide them to whoever wants them on electronic media and keep the paper copies in a safe at the station. Does that make sense, Sandy?
Sure, as soon as we get a safe.
Matt, or, you know, a little tin box.
By the way, I'll donate a safe.
Well, we just shredded a few months ago a pile of paper that had been sitting around for 10, 15 years in banker boxes. Nothing historical except for business records maybe, right? This is creating more paper. I would prefer they were scanned and we had an electronic folder and that's it. Done and done.
Great. Electronic folder sounds great.
I can put them in the GM email under the folder LSB NDAs.
Okay? Fabulous. That would be fabulous.
Sitting there in perpetuity.
Excellent. Okay.
Sounds good.
I have a question. Hello?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Sandy, I haven't heard the NPR item that you referenced, but.
Tori did.
Tori.
Tori. I'm sorry, Tori. So I'm most concerned that people on the board understand the importance of confidentiality when it comes to HR items and contractual items that we're in the process of purchasing something. And we do have board members that don't seem to understand that you can't just get off a call and say, oh, well, we're hiring so-and-so, or we're in the process of selling our building for X amount, or even just saying, you know, we've decided we're going to sell our building. Therefore, all kinds of people run around and try to stop the sale of a building, for example. So I'm not quite sure what the alternative that NPR was suggesting in that piece.
Sorry?
Well, they weren't suggesting an alternative. I mean, the idea is that we're a corporation and, you know, there's the ways that corporations do things and then there's community organizations. You know, we're like Pinocchio. We want to be a real boy. We want to be a real community organization, but we're in this corporate legal hole. And so community organizations don't have, I mean, they're open, you know, horizontal. They don't have hidden agendas or hidden information. They're not hierarchical like a corporation. And so, you know, corporations want to keep control at the top. So NDAs are a control mechanism. And KPFD's always had this, you know, kind of dual personality of a corporation. And it used to be more of a community organization because it didn't make any money. It just barely survived up until, you know, forever. And it was like a short window where it was actually making some decent money. And now it's not. I'm always going to be biased towards the community organization model, which is.
Would you maybe agree that the reason, one of the reasons we can't make any money is that when it comes to items of confidentiality, there are some people that when you give them confidential information, they go and tell everybody.
Mm-hmm. So let me call, if I may, a halt to this so that we get, I mean, this is an interesting discussion, but it's not the real purpose of this meeting. Adriana, you've got your hand up.
I mean, you know, I agree absolutely with what Tori is saying. And it all depends, you know, because we know perfectly that a lot of people that doesn't have even any role, that they are not delegated, etc., have more options in this foundation that some of us have. I mean, this, you know, it's being used. Oh, we don't want to tell you. You know, we are delegates. We have a lot of information. We must receive that information. The California Corporation Code says so. Our bylaws say so. We are representing the membership. We are supposed to take care of their money. And then when we ask questions, we are being called paranoid. You are not worthy to give you information because you will release it. And obviously, in a small group of people receive it. We know it's always like that, was always like that, and always will be. This is being used only to try to muscle more people. And like Tori said, we are a community. We are not a corporation. And
we are
reality,
a corporation.
Nothing, we are a non-profit corporation. We are not, and the reality, what we are creating, a kind of a ghost. You know, oh, we will release that information. That is not true. That never happened. The people that release information most of the time release it through friends and family, and they never have their poll there. Okay? We cannot prove any of that. This, I believe that it's being used. I agree with Tori. This is ridiculous. We represent people. We have the rights, and we need
to
receive that.
Thank you. Sandy, you have your hand up.
Yes, thank you. Just very quickly, first off, the NDA, the one that I'm familiar with that's probably going to be resent around, is like two paragraphs, maybe three paragraphs.
Oh, no,
long.
It's 2 pages.
It's 2 pages? Okay. Second page is probably largely signature then, if that's the form I'm familiar with. But anyway, we need to do this, folks. It's not optional. And if you don't sign it, then management won't participate. I got to tell you, it's really critical. We've been sued so many times. And the last time cost $300,000 because a board member said something about an XED. $300,000. Half our annual operating budget for our station, to put it in perspective. We can't afford it. And everybody's got to behave. It's not the right to clip free speech. It's the right to continue operations at Pacifica, period. And without that document being signed, participation is not possible. And I'm sure that Stephanie Wells, my boss, the executive director, would gladly say the same thing to you. This is just simple logic.
It's not optional. Okay, next agenda item, discussion with IGM regarding your perspectives on generally performance. We will get into details in an executive session at a future time. And the budget situation pertaining to possible posting for a permanent GM position. And I'd love it if Sandy, you and Marlo shared your perspectives. Thank you for Marlo for joining us too.
Sure. Thank you. I'll go first if you don't mind, Marlo.
Please.
I think we're performing solid, very, very solidly. You can look at the last report sent around. The station continues to operate and pay all its bills, having paid off credit card debt and not accumulating anything over the current month. It's paid off every month. All the other bills for streaming and ASCAP and tax to the city of Houston and transmitter tower rentals and a couple locations, all that's being paid, 100% of it. Central services, all of it, just like budgeted. In fact, I think we're tracking the 2025 budget very nicely. So from a financial standpoint, which is really the number one job of any manager of a radio station, especially this one being so thin in terms of what, you know, operating budget, as Tori alluded to. So that part is going decently. It could go a lot better. And it leads into the discussion about posting a GM position. And that's a question that has to be answered with how much you want to pay. You tell me that, and I'll tell you if we're ready. Currently, in the last report I just sent around, there's $200,000, almost even. It's a little more than that in the bank, $200,600 or $300 in the bank. Our burn rate's around $52,000 a month, just like the budget says, $53,000 a month. And that $200,000 replaces from the day I started, which was July 1st, 2 years ago. So we've gone past 2 years. I think at that point in time, we had just restricted grant money of about $40,000. That's been spent down. That money's been used, purposed for supporting the Huntsville transmitter, largely for the prison population to hear KPFT. That money's been spent down now to about $22,000. So you take the $200,000, $22,000 is restricted. It leaves $178,000 that we've built up in that time. So if that's a good enough sampling to say that we're running ahead of the clock that far, means that if we want to continue to walk the wire and have no reserves, which I would object to, we could go out and hire a GM. I don't think that's smart. I really don't. But if you tell me how much of a salary, I can tell you if we're ready. We could post something now if we wanted to, in theory. I would hesitate, but, and I say that only since a fund drive's coming up, and I'm always nervous about the next fund drive. We're one bad fund drive away of me saying, nope, we're not ready at all. So I would prefer to wait to answer the question till we get through August. I'm optimistic. I think we are well positioned to make what will be a $75,000 goal. Almost $23,000 a month is coming in by credit card now. So that's pretty groovy, right?
So those are sustainers, huh?
Those are sustainers. There are about 1,200 sustainers now. Our membership's around 2,700. So it's around 40% of our membership are sustainers, which is really cool. Next fund drive, I'm hoping that percentage goes up and we have a bunch more new members. So with that in mind, once we get to the next fund drive to make any decision, would be the appropriate time. And I'll also caution that right after August comes October, which is the first fund drive of fiscal 25. And that's usually one of the more difficult ones to make a goal on. So they're all difficult to put it in perspective, but we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. So are we ready right now to support a $75,000 salary or $85,000 salary or whatever it is Pacific is paying these days? No, we're not. That will sink the boat. That's loaded up with benefits and everything else. And the internal cost is over six figures. So as soon as we do that and we assume a burn rate equal to what we have now, we have zero in the bank. We're going to spend everything on that one person pretty much. So that's my take on where we are right now. Listenership, we're doing okay. We could do better. We have problems still with AT&T and other internet connections, which is just killing us. We had problems with the Nautel transmitter. We couldn't have HD2. That's been repaired at a cost of $10,000 altogether with Mo Thomas's travel expenses and the cost of the parts. But at least HD2 works now. Right. We committed to that to the FCC and we're doing it. We're also toying around with an HD3, another grid, if that wasn't enough for you.
Shame.
So that would be streaming only. No live broadcast. Marlo, would you like to comment?
Sure. Absolutely. As Sandy has already explained, we are stabilizing the technology that we have right now on the HD2 specifically, and our HD1. We have had some problems, as you all know, I'm sure, but we're trying to get those in better shape and to be more steady and consistent. We are filled with interns at KPFT right now. They are working on creating more evergreens. They are working on creating intermittent types of programming, like little newscasts, little weather drops, different things that we need from time to time to make the station sound a little fresher and a little newer. And we're very, very pleased to have all of the people that we have coming in and working on a regular basis every day at KPFT. If you haven't been to the station in the morning hours particularly, it is filled with people all doing their jobs. We do have a morning crew that comes in, and we have an afternoon crew now that takes care of the evening shows as well. So we're very happy about all of that. I think that the programming is, we're at a point where we are fine-tuning what our listeners are interested in and liking, and we're very happy to be creating a couple of new community shows so that as space becomes available on both the HD2 and the HD1, we're able to plug them in with people who now have a little more experience. So very grateful for all of our programmers, all of our board ops, all of our interns, and of course to all of you who are on the board. Thank you very much for everything that you all do. That's about it.
Thank you all. So, Adriana, I see your hand, but I'd like to ask one thing. Of course, a very important matter right now is FCC compliance, because we had to pay a $25,000 penalty because we're under a compliance plan. Because if we do not get these things done, there may be more penalties and licenses put at risk. Sandy, would you be able to address how well KPFT is doing at taking the trainings and making the changes needed in terms of fund drives and programming?
Thank you. And if programmers do not take the mandatory training, they cannot be on the air. That's simple. This is something that the FCC has put down. Not me, not Pacifica. So, Marlo, last report, we had about 2/3 of our on-air staff.
We are now at 100% compliance.
Woo! There you go. So Marlo did a great job using email and harassing people on the phone. I did a couple of those too. And during the programmers meetings and the programmers social that we had last, we talked about this and people got the message. And I got to tell you, our programmers take this really seriously. And they're all on the same team rowing together. And I'm deeply appreciative of that. So thank you, Marlo, for that update. I didn't put that in my report. I should have.
Thank you.
Next month.
And just in case anybody else cares, our FCC quarterly report was 18 pages long this last time. Most FCC reports from the other stations were about 15 entries. So we're above and beyond.
So fabulous. The FCC, I'm sorry, Mara, FCC report, what we're talking about, this is the FCC gives you categories under which you have programs to fulfill those categories. And then you fill in what those programs covered in some detail. And Marlo has been writing these and now submitting them with virtually no oversight at this point from John Elmello, who did that for all of Pacifica and has retired. He is now our compliance officer. So thank you to Marlo for taking that skill up, mastering it, and following through. Yeah, no, really, that's no FCC report, no ticky. So thank you. Sorry.
It's very important for us to understand this better. I'm delighted that you're letting us all know. Adriana, do you have questions?
Yes. First of all, thank you for all that you are doing, Sandy and Marlo. First of all, it's a question too. Is any way that you can send a copy of that report and we are more informed? Some of us don't receive that much information. But, Sandy, you were talking about, not having the money to have a general manager. And I agree with you. We are in a very difficult situation because we don't have enough money. But sometimes when we don't do that, we are breaking a lot of, laws. But, you know, you cannot have people in a provisory or in interim situation without more than 6 months. You need to do something. Then what we do normally is pay consultants. And that kind of money, in a way, I believe that is not fair neither, because some people are receiving that money and not having any of the benefits. They are really employees. They are not having any of the benefits of being an employee. And I believe that we should have the people that really work, that are doing an employee job, have all the benefit of being an employee. And we need to address that issue. And, you know, some of us don't have the luxury to see the details of our budget because they think that we are not worthy to disclose that information to us, even signing all the NDAs that I already signed. That's why I said I will have a better opinion once that I can see a detail that I cannot see now. Thank you.
What?
So okay. let me just add something. I'm sorry, Sandy, but at this moment, all five stations have got interim general managers. And that is more a reflection of our deep financial distress than anything else. Hello, David Britton. Say hello and let the secretary know you're here.
Hi.
You can hear me, hey, David.
And two of these IGMs have been on a volunteer basis, both in LA and here. And the whole system is incredibly beholden to a whole bundle of volunteers who are doing an amazing, amazing job for us.
Thank you. In terms of contract employees, Adriana, can you provide a little more information, or consultants rather, can you provide a little more background? Because we have the 4.25 equivalent full-time employees at $15 an hour. Okay, that's the equivalent. And if you add up the total number of hours being paid to contract, not consultants, but contract employees, you would get that total. So can you, so that I understand and maybe can better answer your question, when you say consultant, what are you envisioning?
What I'm saying, when I say consultants and contractors, I'm saying exactly that. I don't know the rest. Maybe you are luckier than me. Some of you can see an information that I cannot see. Then I cannot make a judgment of things that I cannot see. You know, I think that I'm entitled, but somebody considered that I'm not worthy to have that information. Then I cannot make a judgment, and I cannot see really if we could or could not and how we spend some of that money. And it, like I said, sometimes people that are under contract are not receiving the full benefit because they are contractors, I mean, they are not receiving the full benefit that they should receive, because really it's a way to change, and we don't have employees, suppose. And that, like you said, that goes to an amount of employees that we should have. And we are in a very precarious situation, I agree. Foundation is. But we need all of us. We have a fiduciary responsibility, and that part of that fiduciary responsibility is having the information, because we are representing money that are, you know, giving us some money to take care of, and we represent them. If we cannot access the information, we cannot, you know, fulfill our fiduciary duties. Some people don't care. Some people say, okay, if so-and-so told me, I will say yes. I'm not like that. I'm sorry. But I believe that if we all have that information and we all work the way that we should, according to what is expected from us, I think that we will have a better result.
Okay. Well, let me stop. I can provide a little more depth to the word consultant then. I appreciate you clarifying. So ostensibly you're saying any contract person is a consultant. And the reason I asked is because a consultant to me would be, hey, buddy, come on over here and look at my IT infrastructure and tell me how I can improve this. Oh, your rate's $1,000 a day. I need 3 days. That's a consultant. Okay. In my head, the contract employees that we're talking about are me, Marlo, to the tune of gas money, okay? Robin Lewis, who probably absorbs as much or any out of the budget, or as much as anyone else out of the budget, and it's needed. If you're familiar with KPFT's operation, then you'll find that Robin is just essential in terms of keeping us on the air. She's even behind the microphone during the fund drive. I mean, she's all in, okay? We have in the morning, I have Rico. In the afternoon, I have Bassett. And those two provide competent board operations. They're watching the building. They're taking care of maintenance items during the day. What may like the floors, you know, running a vacuum once in a while, or making sure there's toilet paper. When supplies are low, they alert me. We get them ordered, et cetera. So mm-hmm. I've got two people, 4 hours a day each, as a board op plus, or as I call them, their operations, operation coordinators, morning and afternoon. And the challenge of the digital board, most programmers have picked it up, no problem, but there are still many guests, programmers or talk show programmers that need a board op. There's your board op built in and they know what they're doing. In addition to those two, you'll find a cacophony of other volunteers that want to sit down and run the board for shows. And so Rico will provide additional training and oversight while those volunteers are there. And oftentimes that's when he's off doing other things like sweeping up or taking out the garbage or tidying up around the building. Okay. Same with Bassett in the afternoon. So these are operations people that we really can't do without, Adriana. And they don't get benefits. They get $15 an hour. And you're right. I agree with you entirely. Let's raise another $250,000-$300,000 a year and fix it.
Great. So, and is Howard our only FTE?
He's the single full-time employee, which is a requirement of the FCC. The GM need not be that one person. In fact, in my view, the GM should be a part-time employee, 20 hours a week. If the thing is running right, that's all you need. Because of the many volunteers and interns that Marlo talked about, because of the amazing efforts of people like Debbie Smith who come, or Arlo, again, one of our board ops, we have a fairly good-sized donor that turned into a board op, enjoys hanging around. So there are many people coming down to that station, but it requires an anchor. It requires an infrastructure, and that's those 11 people or 10, 11 people that are sharing in this 4.25 full-time employee by the hour positions.
And can I just say that's Howard,
bare bones. That's bare bones.
You've put together an amazing team. May I also just mention that Howard is wonderful. He's a rock.
He works his butt off.
Madam Chair, may I call something to your attention?
Yes, please.
Both you and I have a meeting in at 7:30. So we have maximum 40 minutes left to this meeting, just so you know.
Well, and I suggest that the meeting should be 1 hour. Are there more questions to pose to the IGM?
And let me, one before anybody raises their hand, Adriana, if you'd like to come on down to KPFT one day and sit down at the desk there with me, I've got some information on my desktop. Some of what you're after probably with financial, I have no idea. I don't get to share that. That's going to be Markeisha and company. But you're welcome to come down. I can show you some of the spreadsheets that I work with.
Thank you, Sandy. I really appreciate it. But I'm asking too for what I'm entitled legally and entitled to. And, you know, some of the people are preventing me from receiving that information because I'm not worth it. That was my complaint. I appreciate your offer and that's fine, but I'm asking for what I'm entitled legally, you know, by the California Corporation for Nonprofit and 4 hour bylaws. And like I said, I mean, without information, the right information in our hands, we cannot make the right decisions. That is what I worry, you know. We have people that, you know, they are being covered. They never come to a meeting and they are still being, you know, LSB members. You know, that depends where you are and who you are. You are covered or not, you know. And we have somebody that is signing like helper, secretary helper or assistants. Nobody vote those people. And when I'm trying to ask questions, they tell me, I mute you. That's it. And they mute me. They don't want the questions. Like I said, that's the problem.
I'd like to recognize that Lyndon, you've come on the call. Lyndon, would you be kind to announce yourself so you're a part of the recording?
Yes. Hello, this is Lyndon Foley.
Great. And I think the quarterly financial reports are going to be available from the PNB fairly soon. I think they've gone to the NFC. I think that they'll go to the PNB and then available to everybody after that. Okay. Next agenda item is schedule for LSB evaluation of IGM and update on the personnel committee guidelines. So Sandy, last year, I mean, the year ended, we went past 18 months, I think, before you got evaluated. Last year, we finished the evaluation in December. We were right up against the gun because it was the former LSB that finished that. So we did not even have a conversation with you. So I think there's a commitment to start earlier so that we can, so that this can be a collaborative process.
Okay.
And you're smiling. Okay.
Yeah,
we're looking forward to it. Right. Adriana, you've got your hand up.
But it have nothing to do with this. I want, because we never talk about this, but I believe that we should have, I put in a motion to excuse every member of this committee that didn't come today. We know that a lot of people that don't have electricity, they don't have internet. And if, I don't know if anybody opposed, but I want to excuse the absence of all the people that couldn't come to this meeting today.
Okay, that is so will the secretary note that motion? Is there any objection? Hearing none. Thank you. That's adopted. And I keep forgetting you don't need a second in a committee meeting. So anyway, okay. And Teresa, would you mind giving an update about what the National Personnel Committee is doing?
Okay. Well, great. Thank you. We are preparing to do the second annual evaluation of our executive director. And we will be reviewing a survey that KPFA does of their membership. Of their listeners. And going to ask questions like, do you listen to this show? What do you think? And we thought that might be very useful information for the executive director when the executive director evaluates general managers, for example, or when the LSB evaluates GMs and program directors. But this is just a discussion at this point. It's not actually part of the evaluation. We are also reviewing a self-evaluation for LSB members. We are making ourselves available to the executive director if the executive director, for example, is working on a handbook or is working on some other HR-related document that some of the expertise from members of the personnel committee would be useful. That's about it. Is there anything else that you can think of, Susan? Might be missing something.
I think that we're looking to put together a toolkit for local station board evaluations of GMs and of PDs. One of the issues about that is that, there's a separation between management evaluations and local station board evaluations, and that management is subject to protections of confidentiality. And so there will be evaluation processes that I think the ED will initiate, but only after the FCC compliance work is done. Adriana.
I'm sorry that I'm asking too many questions, but I don't see that anybody's asking other questions. I asked our two directors, Susan and Teresa, to please, I don't know what's going on, but if you look at the kpfdx.org, we approve minutes of our LSB meetings every time, but it's not posted there, not even one. And that is really, really terrible. I mean, please, mm-hmm. you are directors, be sure that the minutes are posted. Thank you.
Adriana, very, very important point. Yes, Teresa?
Yes, I think one of the problems that I have right now is converting things to PDFs, format, because everything that goes on KPFTX should be in that format. And if you don't, then whenever you use a semicolon or something, it puts odd little things in there, little symbols. I know that we are not the only one that's not posting minutes. I think I tried to see the minutes of WBAI, for example, and could not. So maybe we will get, Susan, let's get with our chair and our secretary and see if we can make sure that KPFT is up to.
Sure. Absolutely. So we'll look at that. Thank you. I think it's particularly important for the LSBs. And I think the governance committee, there's been one of the directors at the national board have said that, you know, that we don't have good compliance on that. And so an initiative through the governance committee will be to basically task directors with doing a review of compliance at each of the stations. So we're working on that. But what Adriana, what you bring up is very important. I think some of the disruption that we've had with losing Richard, frankly, has made some problems for that. So is there any new business? The next meeting, the proposed date for the next meeting is August 5th, 6 o'clock. Is there any objection to us using that date? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Wait, for me. Second.
Before that, sure. There's a question. You said that you will send the last NDA, whatever format you have, for us to review and to look at.
Yes.
Please do. Thank you.
Absolutely. Will do. Jane? Uh-huh. Jane and then Teresa?
I think that relates to what my question was, which is, I guess, I understood my task was to collect the NDAs.
Yes.
If, am I going to collect them with comments on them? And then?
No, I'll do that first.
Okay.
I'll send them out to everybody, hear what people's comments are, then we'll ask people to sign. Apologies to the many who have already signed them and filed them with somebody. Okay? That's just, and I wouldn't be surprised if I am one of the circular files where things have gone. All right. Are those all the questions we needed? Teresa.
Will our meeting in August, will part of it be an executive session, or do you anticipate that nothing in this meeting needs to be an executive session?
I will notice it as part of it an executive session. I would like for us to be able to address executive session matters that people bring up, but it'll also be the question of getting the NDAs done.
Okay.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Any objection? All done. Hey, and it is 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock exactly.
You can get a snack before your next meeting. Exactly. Or feed the cat, whatever comes first.
Both.